Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Lamed Beis. We start today at Lamed Alpha Mid Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lamed Zechanish Maslibi Gavriela Bashmuel. Kibarava aimed. Started the topic yesterday. We're going to continue the topic today. Yesterday, they moved to the topic of Kibarava aimed because it was recorded in the Mishnah on Chavtes Amid Aleph. The Mishnah told us that called Mitzvot HaBen Al Ha'av. So all the mitzvahs that are for the child, that it's incumbent on the father. So anashim chayav, anashim peturus, men are obligated, women are exempt. And the Gemara spent a daf talking about those mitzvahs, primarily five. And then kol mitzvahs, the next part line of the Mishnah, kol mitzvahs ha'av al ha'ben, echad nashim chayavim. So all the mitzvahs that are obligated for the parent from the child, that's incumbent on the child, so that is obligated both by the men and by the women, or in this case by the, I'd say, boys and girls, but they're adults. They just happen to be. They have parents. There's a mitzvah called Kibud Av V'Em, fifth of the Aseret Dibros. We started speaking about it yesterday at length. We're going to speak about it entirely today. We are in the Gemara in the middle of Lamed Alpha Mid Beis. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan is where we begin. It's halfway down in the Amud on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The little bit of context over here, because we're about to hit a really, really difficult line of the Gemara. But what we have seen over the course of yesterday, and we're going to continue to see it today, is that it's not an easy mitzvah. It's a difficult mitzvah to honor one's parents. It requires a lot. The extent of Kibud Av V'Em is I don't know, it's hard to say what the limit is, but the story that was told by Dama ben Nisina regarding his parents, his father, he didn't wake up even though he lost a lot of profit opportunity. His mother embarrassed him publicly, and the Gemara says that's the standard. That's the standard for Kibud Av V'Em. So, okay, now I give a little bit of context. Now we can start to the Gemara. I'm Rav Yochanan, Asher Mishalo Chaman. So Rav Yochanan says, praiseworthy is the person... praiseworthy is the person who never saw his parents. In other words, it's the kind of mitzvah where if you have the opportunity, great. And if you don't have the opportunity, so Rav Yochanan says it's
he's an orphan.
Right. So if you don't have the opportunity, so it's not so bad. So the Gemara says Rav Yochanan ki avraso ima meis aviv. Ki avraso ima meis aviv yaladato meisa ima. So the Gemara says he's as orphan as you could possibly be, meaning his father died after conception and his mother died after birth. So he never saw his parents. And the Gemara says, and Rav Yochanan says, look, it's a terrible condition. The silver lining to this cloud is that you're not going to stumble in the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. V'chein Abaye. And the Gemara says Abaye, same story, meaning that he was as orphaned as you could be. Father died after conception, and mother died after childbirth. Then the Gemara says V'amar Abaye, Amarli Aim. Now, how many times in the Gemara did we see Abaye quote his mother? To which the Gemara says that's correct, but it's not his biological mother. Ahi Marvinisa Havai. That was his foster mother that raised him. Ravasi Avalei Hai Ima Zikena. So Ravasi an elderly mother, Amrili Bina Tachshitin. So this story also is going to just give us an idea of how difficult it is sometimes to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. So Ravasi says Ravasi had an elderly mother. So she says I want to be decked out, jewelry. So Avalei, there's no problem, mom. So he bought jewelry and he gave his mother jewelry. Be'ina gavra. So she says, I'd like to marry a guy. So na'ayin lach. So the son said, no problem, mom. I'll go speak to the local shadchan. I'll get you a guy. And then she said, be'ina gavra deshaper kavasech. I want somebody who looks just like you. So she says to the son. So shavka. So at that point in time, he leaves. He departs. Once again, if you take a look at a comment by the Vilna Gaon over here, Vilna Gaon is not usually one who is adding a comment. Usually, he's making a correction on the Gemara. But if you look at the Vilna Gaon over here, so the Vilna Gaon writes Mitarefes Haisa, that this woman, this mother, has started to lose her basic thought process. A little bit of senility has kicked in. Now, Vishavka, and he leaves her. Now, the reason why the Vilna Gaon makes his comment over here, and I mentioned this very quickly yesterday, and I'll just mention it now, is that the Rambam says that if your parents are really difficult to take care of and difficult to maintain, so the Rambam writes, there comes a point in time where you can... you can abdicate. Now, Rambam's not recommending it, but just in terms of the strict letter of the law, so the Rambam says that you can leave them. I'm sorry for not quoting the Rambam directly. You could look at it in the sixth parak of the Rambam, of Hilchos Mamrim, where the Rambam discusses this issue. And a source for the Rambam was going to be our Gemara right over here. Because once Rav Asi realizes that his mother really has lost it, so he leaves. V'azal ar d'Yisrael. And he makes Aliyah. Okay, So on one hand, obviously, it's not a good thing to leave it to have left his mother. But on the other hand, he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Shamatika azla basrei. Now, he hears now that his mother's coming. So also coming to Rav Yochanan, so he goes to Rav Yochanan, who now is his Rebbe, in Eretz Yisrael, and Amr Lei, Ma'u Latzeis Meretz L'chutz Aretz. So he says, look, I'm in Eretz Yisrael now. I just fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So I hear my mother's coming, and it sounds like, it's not perfectly clear from the context of the story, but he is not, doesn't sound... You could say that he's trying to run away once again from his mother, but probably what his intention over here is to go greet his mother as she's coming in. So Amalei Asa, but Rav Yochan, I'm sorry, Asa Likras Ima. Okay, so from the Gemara it sounds pretty clear that his question was he was going to greet his mother, but he was going to do so, and in doing so he's going to leave Eretz Yisrael in doing so. So Mahu, Likras Ima Mahu. So he says to Rav Yochanan, I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael, but for good reason. Amalei Eni Yodeo. Okay, so and Rav Yochanan says, I don't know, Itrach Porsa. So Hadar Asa Amar Lei Asi Nitzrasis Latzeis Amakam Yachzurech L'Shalom. So after waiting a little bit, so then finally Rav Yochanan turns to Rav Asi and says, you know what? God be with you, right? And you should return in peace. Also coming to Rav Elazar. So now Rav Asi turns to Rav Elazar, and Rav Asi says to Rav Elazar, look, I really feel bad. I asked Rav Yochanan a question. He didn't know the answer. He paused. He then told me to go. Did I upset Rav Yochanan? So Amalei Chas V'Shalom Dioma Mitzvah Rasach. He said, I'm a little bit worried that I upset Rav Yochanan. Amalei Amai Amalach. So he says to him, well, so what did he tell you? So Amalei Amalkim Yachs V'Rech L'Shalom. So he said, go in peace, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return you in peace. Amalei V'im Isa D'Rasach Lava Mavarech Lach. All right, so Rav Elazar pacified Rav Asi, and he said to him, look, if you really would have upset Rav Yochanan, if he was really angry, he wouldn't have given you a bracha, he wouldn't use Shem Hashem, he wouldn't say Hashem Yachzirech L'Shalom, Amakim Yachzirech L'Shalom, none of that would have happened. You did not upset Rav Yochanan, do not worry. Adahachi v'achi, meanwhile, Shama La'arona de'kase, meaning his mom was coming to Eretz Yisrael, but one detail that was not given to him, which now he learns, and that is, it's not his mother while she's alive, it's the coffin of his mother. So she died, and she was going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what was coming, and that detail was not given over to him. Amr Iyad Elonavke. So he says, if I would have known that, I never would have asked the question to begin with. Meaning, there's no mitzvah to be mekabel the coffin. Obviously, it'd be nice if he buried his mother, but there's no mitzvah per se, and so he didn't know that bit of information. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now continues. You have an obligation to honor while your parent is alive, and you also have an obligation to honor them after they died as well. Bechayev Ketzad. Let's give examples of how to honor them while they're alive. So, Anishma B'davar Aviv L'Makom. Let's say you know you're in a place where your father's name has a lot of clout. So, Lo Yomar Shalchuni B'Shvil Atzmi. So, don't say, you know, do me a favor, send me on my behalf. But Ma'aruni B'Shvil Atzmi, or hurry me on my way on my behalf. Petruni B'Shvil Atzmi, or excuse me on my behalf. Ela Kulu B'Shvil Abba. So, you should say, do it for my father. Meaning, if you have a chance of giving dad, and by the way, by extension, we of course mean mom over here as well. This is Kibbutz Avim. So, if you have an opportunity to give either dad or mom credit in a place where they will get credit, so you should do so. Now, b'mos okay. So now, how do you give kibbutz after they die? Hayomer davishmo mipiv lo yomalach kachamar abba elakachamar abba mari. So after they die, so don't just simply say this is what my father said, but rather you should say this is what my father, my teacher said. Hareni kaparas mishkavo, and you should add on that I'm going to be a kapara. I'll serve as any type of atonement for his death. But the Gemara says that's only within 12 months. But after 12 months, so you should say, may his memory be a blessing for the world to come. Tana Rabban Chacham Mishana Shem Aviv Vishem Rabbam. The Gemara over here speaks about the need to not, or the requirement not to say your parents by their first name. I know we have this thing called last name. Back then they didn't have that, but in other words, but don't call your parent by their name. So Chacham Mishana Shem Aviv Vishem Rabbam. So the Chacham, when quoting his father, so he has to say. Sorry, he has to change the name of his father, the name of his Rebbe. And by the way, the same halacha requirements are true for your Rebbe as well. So the so you have to be Mishana Shem Av V'Shem Rabbo. Torgaman ain't a Mishana Lo Shem Av V'Lo Shem Rabbo, but the Torgaman does not need to do that. And for a moment, let's just pause here and let's explain. In the good old days, the Rebbe would be giving shir. I picture a large audience in which he's addressing, and he's a little bit older. And his voice can't travel as far. So what he has is what's called a torgaman. Now, torgaman usually means a translator, but in this context, it's more like a human microphone. In other words, he would tell over the halacha to the torgaman, and the torgaman would then broadcast it. So basically, if we envision this torgaman like a microphone, so basically, everything the torgaman's saying is just a parroting of that which the chacham told him to say. So now, imagine, if the chacham told the torgaman to the following. My father said. Now the Torgaman is going to now repeat, my father said. So if the analogy of a microphone is really a perfect analogy, so then that's fine. Meaning, you understand that that when he said my father, so the ambiguous pronoun is going back to the speaker, not to the Torgaman. However, he's not a microphone. He's a person. So by him saying my father, it may be confusing, and people may understand that the Torgaman is referencing his father, not the father of the Chacham, who was the one who said it. So therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is that the Torgaman is going to say, not my father, but the father of the Chacham who just spoke to me. And he's going to mention the father by name. And don't worry, no one's going to think that the Chacham actually said his father by name. That's basically the point the Gemara is making. And let's see it all inside. So, Torgaman Eina Mishana Lo Shem Av V'Lo Shem Rabbo Avu Adaman. So the Gemara at this point in time is a little bit confused because it's an ambiguous pronoun. Was it referencing his own father or the Chacham's father? So, Eilem Avu Adaman Torgaman Atzu Torgaman La Bar Chiyuvahu. Now, we're talking about the name of the father of the Torgaman, meaning let's say the Chacham is quoting the father of the Torgaman. Is the Torgaman allowed to say his own father's name? Of course not. He has a mitzvah of kibra va'im. Ela amarava shem av v'shal chacham v'shem rabba shal chacham. So the pshat is the name of the father of the chacham, meaning the chacham said over a halacha, the chacham said it over in the chacham's father's name, and then he said over to the torgaman. The torgaman is allowed to cite the chacham by name. And don't worry, no one's going to think that the chacham actually used the name himself. Ki adama baravashi, the Gemara gives a simple example. Ki avadarsh bepirka, mar baravashi gave a shir in public. Iu amar abamari, so when he was quoting his father Ravashi, he said abamari, and then va'amorei, his amora, means same thing as the Torgaman, amar hachi amar Ravashi. This is what Ravashi said, so he cited Ravashi by name. And no one thought that mar was actually saying the words Rav Asher. Tana Rabbanan. Ezu Mar V'Ezu Kibun. The Gemara over here is very basic. We know there are two mitzvahs in the Torah that a child has towards his parent. One mitzvah is Kibud Ava'im, the honoring of your parent. And that's in Parsha Shmos, it's in Parsha Ve'ezchanan. Okay, in other words, fifth Dibra, both times mentioned. And then there's a mitzvah of Yira, of Mora Ava'im. To have fear, to have awe of one's parents. That's mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim. So the Gemara now is going to point out that there's a basic distinction between Kibud versus Mora. Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Mora Ve'ezu Kibud. What are examples of Yira? What's the example of Kibud? Mora. So examples of Mora, Lo Omid Bim Kamam. Don't stand in his place. What does that mean, don't stand in his place? If you take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, B'makom ha-miyuchad la'aviv la'amod sham b'sod zekenim im chaverav be'etzam. Okay, he would stand around together with the Chachamim, your father, and they would have some sort of council. Not a sitting council, but a standing council. Anyway, in the standing council, everybody had a certain place where it would stand. That's your father's place that the Bryce is making reference to. Lo Yoshe Bim Komo, that's kind of a little more self-evident, meaning he has a place that he normally sits, and so don't stand in his place. Sorry. Lo Soser Devarav. No, don't contradict him. right? If you have awe and reverence for someone, so you're not going to be that ready to contradict that person. Now, contradiction over here doesn't mean that you can't take issue with what he says. It simply means that you can't flatly contradict that which he says. V'lo machrio, and you can't be machrio. Now, this one's a tricky one. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, im haya aviv v'chacham, acher chalukim medaver, halacha, lo yomar nirin divrei ploni. So the way Rashi presents it is, your father and somebody else is having a debate. And Rashi over here says that specifically in halacha. Now, you could say that Rashi over here is teaching us that maybe all this is only as it relates to Torah, and if it's non-Torah matters, maybe you can disagree. Politics. Maybe you can, but I don't know if that's right. It could be. That's just me speculating. I don't know if that's true. But Rashi does say Torah. That part's fair. Anyway, your father and somebody else are having a debate. So the way Rashi presents it is, don't side with the other person. That's how Rashi understands machriya, which is generally what machriya means. Machriya means that there's this position, there's this side, and you are taking a side. So the way Rashi understands it is, don't take the side of someone who's arguing with your father. Now, the other Rishonim, the Yad Ramah, I know offhand, so say that's a difficult pshat in the Gemara. Because just a moment ago, we said that you can't disagree with your father. So this is basically, according to Rashi, just another form of disagreement. Meaning, it happens to be that you know that somebody else disagrees with your father. Oh, okay, fine, I'll side with him. But that's basically what we just learned earlier, that you're not allowed to contradict. The other Rishonim say, what the Gemara means over here when it says, Eino Machrio, is don't agree with your father. Which is a very interesting pshat, and it speaks to me. Meaning that your father has a position. You're going to back him up. So the other Rishonim say, no, even that's not reverential in awe. Meaning he doesn't need your certification, your pat on the back, like, okay, good, that was a good job. He doesn't need that. So the other Rishonim say that's what the Gemara means when it says v'lo machriyo. Yes.
It seems much more disrespectful in front of your father to side with the one who's talking with you. I agree with him.
Oh, in other words, you're right. In other words, for Rashi, in defense of Rashi, you're right, it's even more of an affront. Okay. Okay, fine. So, kibud. Now we're going to go over examples of what are examples of kibud aveim. Machil umashke, give him food, give him drink. Mabish umechase, dress him if necessary, cover him. Machnis umotzi, escort him out, escort him in. Okay. The easiest way to make this distinction between mara versus kibud is basically the don'ts versus the do's. Right? All your year examples are don't. Don't stand in his place. Don't stand in his place. Don't contradict him. Don't agree with him. And the kibud are the positives. They're the do's. So I'm not sure. I'm questioning myself. Just trying to challenge myself a little bit. I'm not sure if that's the best way to say it, because then it makes it sound like the mara is a low sase. Right? If you read the pasuk, right? We went over the pasuk a number of times already. Ish imov aviv. Tira'u. That sounds a little more like a positive commandment. Meaning, it's a positive commandment to have awe for them, and then the consequence of having that awe is going to be not to sit in his place. So, yes, it's true. The difference between the kibbutz and the mora is the don'ts versus the do, or the way I set it up, the do's versus the don'ts. But I don't think that the yira is really a negative prohibition. It still sounds like a positive commandment. Ibaye lahu. The Gemara says, we're now on the very top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Today's daf. Mishel mi. Simple question. Who's funding all this? Meaning, you have a mitzvah to honor your parents. Included in that is to clothe them, feed them. Who's paying for all that? Is it supposed to come out of the parents' pocket and you're just simply servicing? Or you're the one not only servicing, but you're providing as well. You're the one who's going to pay for the food, clothing, right? All the things that your parents need. So who's funding it? Seems like a simple question. It's a machlokas. So Rav Yehuda Amar Mishal Ben. Rav Nasan Bar Oshia Amar Mishal Av. So machlokas Amarayim. The Orele Rabban Le Rav Yirmiyah Va'amrele Lebreid Rav Yirmiyah Kemand Amar Mishal Av. And then the Gemara resoutly concludes that the halacha is Mishal Av. Dad is funding and the child is servicing. Meaning, but it's not the it's not coming out of the child's pocket. Now it's interesting, the Gemara has Prada Machlokas, the Gemara has concluded, and that's the Pesach Halacha. The Pesach Halacha is that the funding for the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ve'im comes from the parent. It's just that the child is providing the service, but not the funding. And even though the Gemara concluded, the Gemara is still going to have a discussion on this topic and going to deliberate on it, even though the Halacha has been set over. And the Gemara goes on. Meitzvei. Challenge from the Gemara. Nemar kabed zavicha v'simecha v'nemar kabed zeshamei onecha. Malahalam b'chisaron kis, avkan b'chisaron kis. We already made this point. Yesterday's daf, we're now making it again. And that just like the Torah says that you have to honor Kadosh Baruch Hu with your money, so too you have to honor your parents as well. Now, v'yamar mishal'av, my nafkalemina. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We just concluded that the funding of the mitzvah is coming from the parent. So it's really not analogous to the mitzvah of honoring Hashem. You're not honoring Hashem with Hashem's money, although you could make the argument, if you'd like to be a little bit more firm right now, and say that any money that you have anyway is coming from Hashem, so it's his money anyway. Okay, I kind of like that. But the Gemara doesn't see it that way. Meaning, the money that you have is your money, and you're paying for Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavod HaMakom, with your money. So what's the analogy now when it says, and so too you have to honor your parents as well? Sounds like it's with your money, not with your parents' money. So the Gemara says, Lebita Malacha. The Gemara says, well, time is money. And so you're going to be honoring them with your money. Meaning, even though, yes, the food, the drink, the clothing, so that's coming out of your parents' pocketbook. However, the time, your time is your money. So, right, your time, your effort. So that's something where you're going to, you're obviously going to have to sponsor. So that, the Gemara says, is a comparison between the two. Tashma. The Gemara challenges once again. Meiser Sheni, we just discussed this a couple days ago. Beizachim Shnei Shutvim, Avo Venoa, Rav, Tamidot, Poden Zeh Lezeh, Meiser Sheni. So, we talked about the redemption of Meiser Sheni. And we know the basic halacha. We've gone over this just a couple days ago. If you are redeeming your own Meiser Sheni, so you have to add on a chomish, which comes out to 25%. If you're redeeming somebody else's Meiser Sheni, so then, as a sponsor of somebody else's Meiser Sheni, you don't have to add on a chomish. You just have to redeem it at its principal value. What are some of these examples where there obviously is a relationship between people? Partners, father-son, Rebbe Talmud. So they're poded one for another with Meiser Sheni. So, and you don't have to add on a chumash. There's no requirement. He's considered like an outsider. Okay, next part of the Brisa, which is the part we want to focus in on. U'machilin zela zem Meiser Ani. And they can also feed one another Meiser Ani. Now, the feeding of one another, Meiser Ani, despite the fact that you have a very close relationship with that person, but still, he's not you. So you can reach into your pocket, take your Meiser Ani, in the third and sixth year, the second 10% of your produce has to go to another poor person, and you can give it to a Rebbe, you can give it to your parent. Now, Iyamar Mishal Ben, Nimsa Zeparechova Mishal Aniyim. So now the Gemara makes what seems to be an excellent point. If you're already obligated to fund your parent, so then you can't take Meiser Ani and use it to pay for your obligation. You cannot double dip. You can't use money which already is earmarked and obligated for this purpose and use tzedakah money in order to pay for it. Right? Sensitive topic, but tuition. You can't use tzedakah to pay for your tuition. And now, if you don't have money, so that's obviously something that you have to contend with. But if you have the money and you have the means, you can't use your tzedakah to pay for your tuition. So your schools are not going to be writing your receipt saying, you know, okay, good, he paid tuition, you know, you can write it off. You can't do that. The Gemara says the same thing over here. If the obligation to pay to fund for the mitzvah of kibbut avim is coming from the son, he can't use maaser ani in order to pay for that. Sounds like a fantastic point. Lo tzrich ala dafa. The Gemara says no. Maybe what's meant over here is as follows. Meaning there is a certain basic requirement of what is considered basic funding that comes from the son to the father. Meaning the Gemara is just being argumentative. Meaning, as we already pointed out, the halacha is the funding comes from the parent. But if you're going to argue that the funding comes from the child, so we're going to say like this. There's a basic amount that you have to pay, whatever that basic amount is, and then there's something over and above. So for the basic amount that comes out, that has to come out of the pocket of the kid. Now for the over and above, so right, again in my analogy, right, for the school dinner. So that's something where that's above, that's over and above, so that you can use your Maaser Ani to, in order to pay for that. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's read on in the Braisa. Because in the Braisa, Rav Yehuda then records an opinion, which is, it's not right. You're going to take Maaser Ani in order to pay for your parents' needs? It's not right. And in fact, not only is it not right, somebody's going to be cursed if they use the Maaser Ani in order to pay for the parent. Now, the way we set it up, you're not using the Maaser Ani for the basic requirement of the parent. You're using it for the hadafa, for anything above and beyond. And you're going to be cursed for that? So then that's exactly the Gemara's question. V'ila hadafa ma'nafkamina. Afilo hachi, the Gemara says, we could still argue that it's the hadafa. Zila bei milsa. It just happens to be, it's still not right. It's not appropriate that you use any money. We're not even talking about the base money. We're talking about the extras, right? The over and above. It's still not right that you're using Maaser Ani money in order to pay for that. That, what you are paying for your father, should be coming all out of your own pocket and not from Maaser Ani money. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Shalu is Rabbi Lazar at Hechon Kibbut Avim. They asked Rabbi Lazar, how far does Kibbut Avim go? Amalem Kadesh Yitol Arniki Vizrakan Layam Befanav. Let's say dad takes, right now I'm going to say, his own wallet and throws it into the ocean. Basically, is just throwing out money, and ve'enu machlimo, and you don't embarrass him. Now again, is dad there? Is he not there? Is he lost his sense? Is he still with his sense? Again, it's a fair question, and it goes back to what we discussed earlier. But right now, the Gemara is making a very specific point, and that is, who is the responsible for funding this mitzvah of kibbut avim? Imar mishal'av, my nafkalamina. Now, if the requirement of funding the parent is from the parent's money, so then what do you care? Meaning, it's his money, let him do with whatever he wants with his money. And if it's just a question of, well, I got to pay for the mitzvah of kibbut avim, well, that's coming out of his money anyway. Now the Gemara says, b'ray l'yersho. Well, it's still going to bother the kid. What do you mean? The Gemara says, if the parent's throwing away his money, so that means that after 120 years, that's the last money for the kid. Meaning that that's, you understand how Yerusha works. And so the kid is going to, the kid does still have a gripe in that you're throwing away the estate money. V'chia d'rava b'ravuna d'ravuna kari shirai ban pe rabbe. Sorry, Ban Pei Rabba Brei. The Gemara tells a story where Rav Huna had a son by the name of Rabba. And Rav Huna wanted to test his son Rabba. This story is very interesting. And what he does is he tears fine silk in front of his son Rabba. Amar Ezel Echze I Rasach Ilo Rasach. And I'm going to test him, and I'm going to see whether or not he's going to get upset or he's not going to get upset. Now, V'dilma Rasach V'chavra Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechsha. Now, the Gemara says, now wait one second. What Rav Huna is doing is, yes, he is trying to refine the character traits of his son, but at the same time also, he's going to cause his son to get angry, and you're not allowed to get angry. And basically, you're in violation of Lifnei Iver when you are trying to have somebody else commit Aveira. So how can the father do this, even as a test? So the Gemara... Well, the Gemara is going to get to that. The machale liyikare. So the Gemara says mechila, meaning, as we'll discuss a couple of times over the course of today's daf, the father can waive his right to being honored. So therefore, even if the son gets mad at the father, but the father's mochel, so then it's there's no violation. Come back to that point in just a moment. V'haka avra mishum bal tashchis. the father in doing this test, isn't he in violation of Baal Tashchis? So the Avarle Bipunbaina. So the Gemara says that when the father tore it, he did not tear it on the fabric itself, he tore it on the seam, so it's very easy to repair. V'dilma mishum hachila rasach. So the Gemara says, okay, but if the son is seeing his father tear the silk, but not on the fabric itself, but on the seam, so maybe that's not going to be a good test. So the Gemara says, da'avale b'shas rischei. Rav Huna saw that his son Rabba was already a little bit bothered, a little bit disturbed, right? It's easier to get somebody angry when they already are impatient and they're already a little bit edgy, and then all you got to do, you don't have to poke him that much. You know, just, you know, prod him a little bit, and then they'll get even angrier. So that's what happened, where Rav Huna saw that his son was already a little bit bothered, and so he tears the clothing in front of his son to see whether or not he gets angry. Okay. There is an interesting discussion. It's the Tosfos over here at the bottom, the second to last Tosfos on the Amud. So you are violating an Avera, and at the time you think it's an Avera, only later to discover it's not an Avera. Good or no good, right? Bad or not bad. So generally speaking, Tosfos points out, that's bad. Meaning, even though it comes out at a later point in time that you didn't violate an Avera, if at the time when you're doing it, you think you're violating an Avera, that's not a good thing. So over here, right, the story is such a fascinating story. So Rav Huna is testing his son Rabba. I want to see if he gets angry, if he doesn't get angry. So you know what? I'm going to tear clothing right in front of him. And then later on, it comes out that let's say Rabbi doesn't pass the test. Let's say he gets angry. Now comes out, Rav Huna says over to him afterwards. He says, "Don't worry. You know what? I was just testing you. Okay, it happens to be you didn't pass the test, but it's okay. It was just a test. Okay." So Tosfos points out, okay, but at the time when Rabbi failed the test and he got angry, even though unbeknownst to him there was already mechila and he didn't violate the Isser Kibbut Aveim, but at the time, he actually thought that he was violating the Yisr of Kibbut Aveim, and that's not good. So Tosfos says, Tzarech lomar, shehodia kodem lachin, shelo yei kamo niskavin lechol basar chazir, ve'ala biyado basar tle, dam lakama berberg basra, shetzarech mechila v'kapara. So you have to say, and this really mutes the entire point of the Gemara, but you have to say that Rav Huna told Rabba beforehand, hey, I'm going to test you. Because otherwise, Rav Huna is putting Rabba in a terrible position of having him think that he violated Navera, even though he actually didn't. And we're going to learn later on the Masechta that's actually the case regarding meat. Person was reaching for meat. He was actually intending eating pig's meat, and he made a conscious decision. That's it. I want to try ham. My whole life, I want to eat it. He picked it up. He ate it, and it turns out it was kosher meat, and he didn't know. So later on, the Gemara is going to tell us he needs kapara. Right, it's what he did was not good. So Tosfos says that what you have to say over here is that Rav Huna gave him a warning ahead of time. Kind of mutes the Gemara's point, but yeah, I understand what's motivating Tosfos. Okay, Masele Rav Yecheskel Rami Berei. Okay, we're talking now in the Gemara about the idea of correcting your parents when they're wrong. Now we already learned you can't contradict your parents. But we're not talking about contradicting them. We're just talking about correcting them. Now, every time you contradict them, by the way, you think you're right and you think they're wrong. So maybe that's also a correction. But that obviously that's not what the Gemara meant earlier. What the Gemara meant earlier is that there's an issue where there are sides on the issue. Right, wrong, you know. It's always hard to say that you're wrong. But let's say we're talking now in a scenario in which it just happens to be that he's flatly wrong. And how do you correct him? That's the Gemara's next discussion. We're in the middle of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots. We continue. Masi le Rav Yecheskel Rami Berei. Nisrafim and Niskalim. Let's say you have a group of people who are on death row, and some of them are Chayiv Sreifa. They're going to get burnt, which Sanhedrin, 6th Perek, we're going to learn together. Means that we're going to pour hot lead down the throat. And some of them on death row are Chayiv Skila. They have to be stoned. Okay, the idea of death row, by the way, is, you know, we have a very, at least I do, have a very American idea of death row. You see, they're just sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting. It doesn't work that way in halacha. When we get to Sanhedrin, we're going to talk about this. It's unlikely that you have this kind of collection of this many people who need to be executed, but we're dealing really with the principles. And that is, I have these group of people that some are chayv Sreifa and some are chayv Skila, and what happened was, they get mixed up together. After the conviction, we all know that they're going to die, it's just now a question of, we don't know how to kill who. Okay, that's the only issue. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yidana Beskila, Shasreifa Chamura. So Rabbi Shimon says, okay, so put them all to death through Skila, because Sreifa is more harsh. There's a general machlokus in the Gemara Sanhedrin how to rank them. So the way our ranking system works is that Skila is the worst, below that is Sreifa, and then two more below that. Right? Harag and Chenek. So our position is Skila is the worst, the harshest, and Sreifa is just below that. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says no. Sreifa is the worst, the harshest, and Skila is below that. So if I have a group of people on death row and they get mixed up with one another, so Rabbi Shimon's position is don't give everybody the harshest, because some of them aren't liable for the harshest. So what you'll do is we'll adjust down so that everybody will get the second from the harshest, which according to Rabbi Shimon is Skila. Okay, again, we don't possibly like Rabbi Shimon, but that's the idea. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Barei. So when Rabbi Cheskel is saying over this Braisa, so his son is listening to his father say over the Braisa, and the son says to his father, Abba lo tisnei hachi. So the son immediately corrects his father and says, that's not the way to learn the Braisa. So already, you know where we're going with this. Meaning later on, the Gemara is going to comment on how he corrected his father, which we'll see. The Gemara is going to discuss that. But in the meantime, however, let's just stay on point, because we're going to see what the correction actually is. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. The Braisa is giving the right halacha, but the wrong reason. It's not because Skila is the second from the top in terms of harshness. It's because most of the people over there are Chayv Skila. Meaning the Braisa is giving an example of people who are Chayv Sreifa getting mixed together with people who are Chayv Skila. Now whenever there's a construct of this gets mixed with this, the first this is the minority. The second this is the majority. So who are the majority in this pool of people? The majority of the people are those who are Chayv Skila. So you have a principle of Rov. Rov will dictate what's going to happen. Elahachi isne. So once again, now Rav Yehuda correcting his father says, this is how you should teach the Braisa. Haniskalim ben Israfim. That people who are Chayv Skila get mixed up with people who are Chayv Sreifa. Okay. Amalei Yahachi emasefa. The Gemara says, okay, but let's go on in the Braisa. V'chachamim armen yadon besreifa asher skila chamura. So now, look at the sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that they should all get Sreifa because Skila is more chamur. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, the ranking is Skila is the harshest, Sreifa is just below that. So therefore they should all get Sreifa, because again, you don't want to give somebody a harsher death penalty. So my yuri deskila chamur, typically the Reuben is rafim ninu. Now the Gemara says, now once again, the way you're presenting it, why should they all get Sreifa? The reason should be, very simply, because there are more people there that are chayv Sreifa. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. Once again, the son says to the father, you misunderstood the point over here. This is a Chachamim addressing Rabbi Shimon. So when the Chachamim are responding to Rabbi Shimon, first of all, we disagree fundamentally with you. You think Sreifa is on the top of harshest means of execution? No, we disagree. We think Skila is on top. That's what the Chachamim are saying back to Rabbi Shimon, not addressing the specific case, but addressing the more fundamental issue of what belongs on top of what. Okay, so now what we had is a Braisa, and we just saw that the son strongly, very, very vociferously, corrects his father in terms of how to learn the Braisa. So Amalei Shmuel the Rav Yehuda. So when Shmuel sees how Rav Yehuda is correcting his father, he says, Shinana, this is how Shmuel always refers to Rav Yehuda, meaning he was very sharp. Lo temele lavucha hachi detanya. Don't do that. Meaning that's not the proper way to correct your father. Hareshaya aviv over al devei Torah. The Braisa teaches us the following. Your father is violating the Torah. Ayam alo abba avarta devei Torah. So don't just candidly say to him, Dad, you violated the Torah. Don't do that. Ella omer lo abba kach kaseh b'torah. So you should say, Dad, this is what the Torah says. But then the Gemara says, even that is still a lack of, I guess we'll call that yira over here. It sounds more compartmentally under the category of yira. Anyway, kach kasa b'taretz d'ri kamitzar lei. Okay, it's still what we would call obnoxious, and that's not the way you should speak to your parent. Ela omer lecha abba mikra kasa b'tarah rakach. You should just simply point out to him as flatly and as non-threatening as possible, we have a pasuk in the Torah. But don't come at him. Just simply lay the information out in front of him. If he would like to consider it, that's fine. But you shouldn't come out at him by saying, don't do that, or this is what it says in the Torah. But, you know, it just simply present to him the facts. Okay. And I guess, by the way, coming back to the Braisa, that would mean that, in other words, they weren't learning. It wasn't that the dad was violating the Torah. The dad was just saying something wrong in Torah. So, but still, I guess the point is still to be made that the son should, when correcting the father on the way he learned it, should present it in a much more straightforward, right? What did he say? He said, "Lo tisnehachi." Don't learn it that way. No, what he should say is, "Let's consider the following," instead of coming at in a very attacking manner. The Gemara now quotes the Braisa, where you have the following dilemma. Dad comes over and your dad says, get me a cup of water. And that simple act of getting a cup of water is now fulfillment of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Mitzvah lasos, but at the same time you have another mitzvah to do. Miniach ani kibud av v'oseh a mitzvah. So Elazar ben Maaseiah says, here's my decision. My decision is going to be, I'm not going to get the cup of water from my dad, but rather I'm going to do the mitzvah. Why? Shani v'aba chayavim ben mitzvah. Because me and dad are chayav in the mitzvah. Meaning that mitzvah is incumbent on me and on him. Meaning, had he been given the same opportunity, he would also have to do the mitzvah. So I'm going to postpone getting the cup of water, and I'm going to do the mitzvah. Isi ben Yehuda says, no. I think that if you could subcontract somebody else to do that mitzvah, that's what you should do. And you should get the cup of water for your father. Because, and the Gemara doesn't give a svara, but I would say very simply, that mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, that's a mitzvah that you have and nobody else has. Meaning, you may have siblings, but I'm talking about the general population. General population doesn't have this particular mitzvah of getting a cup of water for that man, because that man is not their father. It's your father. So it's a very special, unique mitzvah opportunity that you have, and if you can allow somebody else to do that other mitzvah that needs to be done, so then do it, then subcontract it. Amar Rav Masa, halacha k'Isi ben Yehuda. And the Gemara says on this issue, the halacha is like Isi ben Yehuda. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shila, Amar Rav Masa, Amar Rav Chista, Hav Shemachal, Kvod Kvod Amachal. I mentioned earlier that we're going to mention this again. Here it is. The Gemara says that you can waive the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, meaning you, the parent. So if you say to the son, it's okay, you can sit in my seat, all right? Mom says to the son, you can sit in my seat, so that's fine. You're allowed to sit in the seat. They have every right to waive the honor. Harav shemachal kvod v'aim kvod amachal. Now, according to Rav Chista, a Rebbe cannot waive his honor. A student has an obligation to honor his Rebbe, and that's something which is non-waivable. So, Rav Yosef, Amar Afila, Rav Shemachal, Kvoda, Kvoda, Machal. Rav Yosef disagrees. He says that a Rebbe can waive his honor. Shenamar, Vashem Alech, Lifneim, Yomam. In fact, we see that Akash Baruch Hu, the ultimate Rebbe, so what does he do? He walks in front of the Jewish people, right? Pasnished. Right, it's not appropriate. Kadosh Baruch Hu waived his honor. Amar Rav Hachi Ashtasam Kadosh Baruch Hu Amad Dilehu V'Tar Dilehu Machuli Yakarei. So Rav says, I don't understand the comparison. Kadosh Baruch Hu can waive his honor because he's the owner of everything. He's the owner of the world. He's the owner of the Torah. It's totally within his right to waive. However, Hacha, but here when it comes to a Rebbe, Torah Dilehi, does the Torah belong to him? Meaning the Rebbe is being honored not because of he himself, it's because of what he represents. He represents the Torah. You are not in the position, you the Rebbe, are not in the position to waive the Torah because the Torah doesn't belong to you. That's what Rava thought, and then Rava changes his thought process. Amar Rahadar Marava, in. I'm in here meaning yes, but yes meaning yes, I was wrong. Torah di lehi. The Torah actually is owned by the Rebbe. Meaning when the Rebbe learns Torah, he doesn't just simply represent Torah, he embodies Torah. He is Torah. Torah di lehi. Dechseva v'sara soyegam yomam alayla. His Torah, he will consider, he's going to ponder both day and night. So the Torah actually becomes, he becomes Torah, Torah becomes him. And so therefore, yes, the Rebbe has it within his right to waive his honor. Ini the Gemara says, Va'arava mashke be'ilula debrei. So the Gemara points out that Rava was at the chasna of his son, and Vidal le'kasa le'rapapa le'ravuna, bereder of Yeshua, v'kame mikame. So the and he was pouring for Rav Papa, for Rav Huna, bereder of Yeshua, and they stood up in front of him. L'Rav Mari, L'Rav Pinchas, bereder of Chista, v'lo kamei mikamei. And he was pouring for a series of other Amoraim, and they didn't stand up for him. Ikbid, he got very upset. V'amar, hanu rabbanan, v'hanu rabbanan, lav rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, I could basically tell, these are Talmidei Chachamim, and these aren't Talmidei Chachamim. V'sura, Papa hava mashke be'ilula daba mar berei. So Gemara tells another story, very similar story, where a papa was pouring at the chasna of his son, Vidale Kasala Rav Yisrael Bered Rav Yehuda Velo Kami Kame, and he was pouring for an amora, and the samara didn't stand up for him, V'ikpid, and he got very upset. Now the Gemara says, now why would the Rebbe here get very upset? Didn't we just say that there's a right to be mochel on his kavod? And the Gemara makes a very nice assumption. If you can be mochel on your kavod, you should. Meaning, rather than get upset with somebody, you should be mochel on your kavod. So if it's within your right to be mochel on your kavod, you should. So the Gemara says, afilo hachi hider ma'aved lei, hider me'aved lei bo. So the Gemara says, even though, yes, the Rebbe has every right to waive his kavod, and yes, the attendants, those who attended the wedding, didn't have to stand for him. But they should have done something that showed some level of reverence. The way Rashi describes, the way Rashi describes it, lanua ma'at ki'ila rotz alamad mipanav. Right, I'm sure you've seen this move where somebody like makes a move as if they're going to stand up, even though they're not going to stand up. Right, I always thought that was funny. Like, what are you doing? Well, if you want to stand, stand, and if you don't want to stand, stand on. And what does that mean? You're gonna pretend like you're about to stand. So it's not funny. It's actually Rashi's understanding of our Gemara over here. Meaning, you have a Talmid Chacham. The Talmid Chacham is allowed to waive his kavod, but still, you should show some deference to that person, even if it means just, you know, pretend like you're about to stand up. Amar Ravashi, let's do a little bit more. Amar Ravashi, afilu man damar Rav Shemachal kvodo kvodo machal, nasi shemachal kvodo in kvodo machal. So the Gemara says that if you're a nasi, you're a leader of the Jewish community, so you cannot be mochel on your kavod. Meisa, the Gemara challenges this as well. Meisa b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Tzadok, Shayim, Mesumim, b'Beis HaMishta. Once again, we're at a chasna, b'Nosha Rabbi Gamliel, and the chasna was at the son of Rabbi Gamliel, v'Ayi Rabbi Gamliel, Omin HaMashka Aleim. And Rabbi Gamliel was serving drinks. Nasna Kosta Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo natlo. He gave the cup to Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer didn't take it. Nasna Rabbi Yoshua, v'Kibbo, and he gave it to Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua took the cup. Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, Mazeh Yoshua, Ani Yoshim, Rabbi Gamliel, Omin HaMashka Aleinu, to which Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yoshua, are you for real? Are we, what's happening right now? Rabban Gamliel, Rabban meaning he's the Nasi. Rabban Gamliel is the one serving us and you're accepting drinks from him? Right? He's like a bartender. Like, you got to be kidding me. So, Amar Le, Matzino Gadol Mimena Shishimish. Avram Gadol Hadoraya. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua says, in his defense, Avram Avinu was serving drinks. So, and he was the Gadol Hador.
Did you say that they're enabling to perform the mitzvah of the Orchim in a way?
Okay, could be. So, I have a Kasav Baal V'hu Omeid Aleihem. He was standing over them. V'shem Atarma Malachi Asharis Gamalo. Nidmulo. And maybe he knew that the guests were Malachi Ashare. So, you can make the argument that he wasn't just serving anybody. So, Lo Nidmulo Alala Ravim. Yeah, but they didn't come in looking like Malachi Asharis. They came in looking like Arabs. V'anu Lo Yeheram Gamliel, B'Rebbe, Omeid Omashka Aleinu. So if Avram can serve Arabs, you don't think Rabbi Gamliel could serve us? So Amar Lehem, Rabbi Tzadok, Amasa Atam Manichim Kvodo Shel Makom, V'Atam Oskim B'Kavod Abrios. So you're so involved in Kavod Abrios, And meanwhile, Kavana Makom, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Meshivrucho is Ma'ala Nesim, Kadosh Baruch Hu has the winds below, he has the clouds lifted, Morid Matar, Matzmech Adama, has the dew come down, the rain come down, and the plants grow, V'Orch Shuchan Lefnei Kol Echa V'Echad, V'Ano Lo Yehei Ramin Gamlil, B'Rebi Omid Amashka Aleinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu serves us, and you can't, and we can't have Rabbi Gamliel serving us. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to adjust that last point as well. Amr of Ashi, Afilaman Damer, Nasi Shemachal, Kvodo, Kvodo, Machal. Yes, the Nasi can wave his right and his honor. Melech Shemachal, Kvodo, and Kvodo, Machal. However, the buck stops at the king. A king cannot wave his honor. The Pasuk says, Shenemar, Samtasim Alecha, Melech Shetei, Emaso Alecha. The honor of the king should be upon you. Stop here. Tomorrow, pick it up.